Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio here at LiveDeliverance.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, just go ahead and get some pen, a pen and piece of papers, notebook or whatever, so that you can write down some comments or questions that you might have. And at the end of the ministry tonight, we'll give you an opportunity to voice those or ask those questions so that we can all grow thereby. So we'll just go ahead and pray and get started. Excuse me. We'll get started and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared to all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more, by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace, as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we want to, again, try to get through this teaching, which is for you to live your greater life. Every time I do the study and God breathes on it and it becomes more and more expanded, I'm not doing that to show how much I know. I'm doing this so that I can learn how to live by this. You know, the Bible tells us that to just live by faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So then I expect to hear things from God so that it will impact my life. I look for those. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end of the way, he's telling us to look at the end of it. You know, I'm not so concerned with the where I am now if I'm not going to look at the end. All right, I'll say that again. I'm not going to be just inundated with where I am now. What I need to be concerned about is the end. Jesus said that he that endureth to the end, that's the one that's going to be saved. So he just told me with that scripture, put my eyes on the end. Now, I don't dismiss where I am, but I put my eyes on where he's called me to. See? The Bible tells us, I'll look at that. we'll look at that. Because one of the things that we want to do is we want to look unto him, because he's going to give us the steps that he walked out. These are the preordained steps that we should walk in. God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. I'm always going to present Jesus to you. I don't have a way that's going to cause your life to work. Jesus is the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. So all I'm going to ever do is to point you in the same direction that the word says we should all walk in. See? Because, again, these are the preordained steps. I'm not trying to make up steps. It wouldn't do me any good to make up steps, except the Lord build the house. They that labor in vain. So I don't want to end up doing all of the things that I was instructed to do and then get before him and he does not say, well done. I don't need to hear half done. I don't need to hear undone. I need to hear well done. So then I'm going to follow the steps, walk in the path that's laid out before me. Okay? So we were designed to live in the creative power of the inspired image of God. This has been God's plan from the beginning, and it's never changed. I was ministering last week, and I said something, that the plan of God never changes. His mercies might be new every morning, but the plan never changed. The application, because my understanding was enlightened, might seem to be different, but the plan was exactly the same. He sent his word to deliver me. That was the plan all the time. Jesus is the word of God. He sent his word to deliver me. See? So all I have to do is stay with the word, and then my deliverance is guaranteed. You know, I say all the time, delivery is set up in parts. The first part is for it to leave the place of origination. The second part is for it to arrive where you are now. The next part is for it to be used so that you can be moved to the place of expectation. Okay? These are the thoughts that he has towards you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, his thoughts are not thoughts of evil. They are thoughts of peace, and those thoughts are to bring you to, or to give you, an expected end. See, so we need to spend time finding out what is the end of the thing. Okay? Because Jesus made this statement to us, it is finished. So then he's not expecting me to go and try to write my own script, is he? Amen. He's expecting me to walk out the steps that he has already preordained for me. And as I do that, I walk and become accustomed to walking in victory every step. See? Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is the way that God's expecting us to walk. So that tells me right there, he doesn't want me walking in doubt, uncertainty. He doesn't want me walking in confusion. He said, this is the way. Walk ye in it. So it really takes all the questions out of it. Well, but I didn't know what he said. Then you continue to study the word. And he said, when you study to show yourself approved unto God, that you would make yourself a workman. You will be able to work your study. Come on, y'all. Just hear what he's saying. He said, study so that you would be a workman unto God that does not end up in shame, or that does not end up confused. Okay? He's not the author of confusion. One of the reasons why he doesn't author confusion, he says that where there is confusion, there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. So he doesn't want you to function in thinking about or function in confusion, because it's going to lead you into not one, not two, but every evil work. Inundated by evil work. Giving your heart over to what the Bible says, the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. Who could know it? See, he doesn't want you to function in that. He wants you to function absolute truth. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 12. See, we're supposed to live in the created power of the inspired image of God. That which inspired means breathed on by, in spirit, inspired. It's good enough that we try to find something that has been inspired, but I would rather live by the inspiration of the thing. Okay? Not having been spoken and is dead, but something that is alive, because the word of God is alive, quick and powerful. The word quick there means alive. So then it's not just good enough to quote from memory things that have been spoken and maybe things that I heard. I need to find the inspired word, that which abideth, that liveth. Okay, let's do it the way it's right. That liveth and abideth. See, some of the things that we have heard and are taken account of, they were words that worked in a specific generation, but that time has now passed. But see, the word of God liveth, and if that wasn't enough, it abideth. See, it lives because that's what God wants you to participate in, is life. But it abides so that it can reach your now. Come on, y'all. So that it can reach your now and affect your now, because it's living by the inspiration that caused it to be there. In Luke chapter 5, I think 17, it says that the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Jesus was in their midst, and while he was there, said very clearly that the power of the Lord was present to heal. So then when I go to a living word, then the power of that word, which is alive, it also has the power to accomplish what he said. Isaiah 55:11, my word will not return to me void, but it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it, and it will accomplish what I please. Did you check that it said that it will prosper in the thing? That means it has to be alive, doesn't it? He didn't say it will be heard by the thing. He said it would prosper in the thing. Glory to God. Again, that speaks to life that is present now. Not life that was recorded and we just hope that it makes us feel good. Okay? Inspired does not mean a good feeling. Maybe we should start there. Inspired means spirit breathed, not goosebump chasing. Okay? See, a lot of times in our thinking, we will think, okay, here we go. Let's go there. The statue of what's his name? Michelangelo, thank you. The statue that he made, and people will look at that statue and say it's an inspired work. No, it's not. It was not a breathed work. It's a statue that has no life. Amen. So we need to stop thinking of things the wrong way. See, it's not an inspired work. He had a leaning and an unction that was for that season, for that time. As soon as he cast that statue, the inspiration cannot be transferred. Amen. I can look at it and it will make me feel some kind of way, but inspiration is not a feeling. Inspired means spirit breathed. And if it's spirit breathed, it lives and abides forever. Come on, y'all. I'm just staying with the word. See, that's what he said about the word. It lives and it abides. See, so if you're getting information from a place that's not a living and abiding place, then you're living in or trapped in an historical account. Okay, and a historical account might make you feel good or give you some information. God doesn't want you to live by information only. He wants you to live by the inspired information. Okay? I mean, that might be some of the things that trap us up. We are trying to get information from man, and man is telling us this was an inspired work. Okay, and I could appreciate it was, but I'm trying to live in that which is inspired. Come on, every time you breathe out, you expel the air. And so since the air has been expelled, you used all of the things that were coming to you. They are now used up. And all you have is a memory and or a historical account. See, God did not want you to live by an historical account only. His story, that's the way that history is spelled, his story is an active story. See, he told us that we're supposed to participate in revelation, not in historical account. He builds up on revelation, not historical accounts only. You might want to write that down. I build on inspired speaking. Okay? Hold your finger in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews and just go back to chapter 1. Okay? I just want you to see these things, okay? See, because he's trying to get us accustomed to what he's doing. Thank you, Lord. I'll say that. That's that. God is wanting us to know what he's doing as well as what he's done. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is, then he wants you to know what he's doing as well as what he's done. And a lot of times in our lives, we will only rehearse what he's done and don't glean what he's doing. Okay, that would be a trap if you would. Because I'm going to be come on. These are just statements as I hear them. I'm going to give them to you. He was not too happy with people living on manna that was not active for the day. Amen. He told them, he gave them fresh manna. He said, do not try to eat the manna of today, tomorrow. Because when you get the manna that was for today, tomorrow, it's going to have worms and begin to stink. If you get it when he said use it, then it will be something you can live off of. But if you're going to get it and try to use it after the fact, then it's not the now word that you need. Now faith is. Not then faith was. Not hopefully faith shall be. See? There is a dispensation that he told them. He said, okay, good. Don't go into into trying to work things out. And then when you say, I got a day of rest, now I'm on work. If God's not working, why should you? Come on, y'all. God rested on the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. So he wants you to learn how to live in the holy. See? He's trying to train us how to live in the holy. That's why he said, don't try to live off of yesterday's revelation. See? And then when he said, okay, now, I want you to learn how to live in the holy, so I'll suspend the life that I gave you, and it'll last till after the Sabbath day has passed. But you'll know that you're in the right place because I will sustain it, not you will store it. Oh, glory to God. See, God can sustain the revelation. He can sustain the manna. But he didn't want you to try to store the manna. And how many times have we heard and participated in trying to store up what God did and make that the box that he has to be found in? See, he's not asking you to do that. He wants you to live in the holy. And the holy would be an active word. Whew. Hebrews chapter 1, just so that you can see this. It says, God, verse 1, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2, hath, that is not only past tense, but that's active, continually. In these days, that lets you know it's going to have to be continually, yes, updated daily, if you would, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image. Glory to God. Did you get that? The expressed image. Not a historical account, expressed image. The image of now. The active image. See? That's why he didn't want us to try to make replication of things that we've called idols. Because he wants you to function under the express image, not the historical image. I mean, you can see where we made a mistake. I mean, just right there. You look at some churches and they have all kind of historical images that we have transferred worship to. Amen. And it was a sin from Jump Street. That's why he told you, do not make any graven image of anything on the earth, above the earth. He don't want that. Again, he's trying to train us to live in the holy. And the holy can only be sustained by him. Okay? I mean, I'm trying to get this groundwork in here so that you can see it. This could be some of the simple ways that we've messed up our walk with God because we have decided that we're going to live because of relics. Because of historical accounts and facts. He's called us to live in that which is holy. Inspired living. That's your greater life. The inspired life. God-breathed life. Life that comes out of the breath of God, the Ruach of God, and remains always the Ruach of God. Come on, y'all. See? Come on. Did he not say that we're supposed to live by every word that proceedeth? He didn't say, come on. Just listen at the verbiage. He did not say that we're going to have to live by every word that was recorded. He said live off the word that it proceedeth. That's active right now, isn't it? The Holy Ghost's job, is the Spirit's job, is to bring to your remembrance what Jesus said. That's the Spirit's job. That would make that word that comes to your remembrance an active word, wouldn't it? A live word. Okay. Wow. See, what's difference with by the Spirit and the things in the flesh? Jesus and the Holy Ghost and the Father are not reporters. Amen. Glory to God. The word that he speaks is not a historical account. My God, I'm going to listen to this myself 3-4 times. The words that he speaks is not a historical account. It is an active part of life. See, he's not a reporter. But we have grown accustomed to getting our information from reporters only. He said, live by the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Woo, Lord Jesus. I hope this blessing you. I mean, I'm blessing my socks off. Woo. He says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And because he's the brightness and express image, he's now upholding. He said he's upholding all things by the word of his power. Do you see that? He didn't say he's putting it in a bottle so that it's captured. He said he is actively upholding, tangibly working with it now. Whew. Glory to God. See, he's upholding all things by the word of his power. See, so he's not asking you to live in the yesterday, in the yesterday's experience. Please, again, these are the thoughts that I think. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you to give you an expected end. He's not reporting about the good things that God did. He's bringing them into your ability to grasp, handle. Become flesh. See that he wants you to he's asking us to participate in the day that he's making. Is not this the day the Lord has made? And we should rejoice and be glad in that day that he's making? Come on, y'all. It didn't say this is the day that the Lord has recorded. I mean, there is a difference there. I'm hoping that you see that. See, that's how he becomes a right now God. That's how he becomes to you a God that is active and alive, touched with the feelings of your infirmity. See, he's not recording it for posterity's sake. He's giving you an opportunity to live it. To create it. Come on, y'all. Come on. Did he not tell us these are the five things he told us to do from Jump Street? He told us be fruitful. Oh, no, Jesus. Everything that I'm opening up, I see it from a different perspective. He told us to be fruitful. To be something is to continually, actively be participating in it. See? He did not tell us to record fruit. He said, be fruitful. Multiply. Somebody help me. If you are in the process of multiplying, that means continual renewal, doesn't it? Whew. He did not tell me to be fruitful and collect. Unfortunately, that's probably what we did. We were glad because of what he did, and so we just collected and built monuments to that. And then talk about all the good things God used to do. When he has thoughts that will bring you into the end. I mean, this is life, y'all. Everything else would simply be an historical account based on a dead relationship. He told us to forget the things that were behind, things in the past. Look to what he's doing now. But if you are not communicating in the now, then you probably will live in the past. Do you remember, again, just looking at how this thing was set up? When Adam and God walked together, they did not walk together in the historical account. They walked in the cool of the day. Come on, y'all. Come on. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice in it. We're going to be glad in it. So when Adam and God were talking and walking, they were walking in the now of the day, the cool of the day. The perfect tense of the day. I mean, when I look at that now, he didn't even want Adam to walk in the cool of the morning in the time of evening, because that would have trained him to think about the things that have already been done. When you give thanks, it should cause expectation. It should not, your giving of thanks should not lock you into what just has happened. It should open up what he's going to do. Because this is what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him, notice the time frame, glory to God. The time frame is now. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can dare ask or think. He's asking you, inviting you into that which has not yet happened but has been promised. We didn't know how it's going to be done, but we know that the certainty is it's going to happen. But when I'm walking with him in the cool of the evening, in the time that is present now, then I don't get stuck. You know something? I'll look at that. When you're walking in the past, you probably will reflect on things that haven't happened yet. So then now you can't with joy draw out of the wells of salvation. Let's go back and do it his way. Be fruitful. Multiply. Have dominion. He did not tell us to talk about dominion. Woo, glory to God. He said have it. Participate in it. Is that not correct? Then because I am understanding and formulating my now correctly because of what he has already promised and spoken into my life, now I can replenish from there. Okay, I'm sorry, y'all. Wow. Multiplication is an increase, isn't it? Replenished is an increase. He did not say reproduced. He said replenished. Make it new again. Make the now active again. Replenish. He didn't say reproduce. Amen. I mean, that sounds like that might be a fine hair, but when you look at it, you're always perpetually functioning in expectancy now. Okay, we'll go to the people that cook and that like to cook. The first time you get the recipe back the right way, then you go and you say, okay, I'm going to do what I did before so I can reproduce what I've already produced. After you do that about 700 times, I don't know that there's a grand joy attached to it, the same as it was the first time. You see what I'm saying? If I'm just going to reproduce, then there is no growth in that, is it? He said, replenish. Take the new and make it new again. Don't make the same thing over and expect a different heart position. He said, replenish. Get a deeper understanding of it, and then you will say, okay, God, so come on, scripture. Behold, I do a new thing in the earth. I mean, it's just, this is the way he is. See? Out of all of the billions of people that have ever been made, he did not make the same one twice. Amen. And this is the creative power that he's trying to get us to tap into. Not just reproduce the same thing, but to replenish. Oh, wow, wow. And the way that God brought everything into existence, it says that he spoke. And everything that he spoke came. The newness of the thing came. I mean, that would be one of the reasons why we live beneath our privileges, because we didn't understand that he wants to make things new every time he makes it. See, yes, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His plan did not change. The execution of his plan did. His mercies were new every morning. But his purpose, the Bible calls it an eternal purpose. Ooh, glory to God. That means the purpose didn't change. The plan didn't change. The application can change. New mercy. New way of getting it done. Well, I'll even use that. If he has new mercy every day and he's asking you to live in the mercy, then how would you live in the new mercy trying to live in yesterday's mercy? Come on, somebody, help me. But because we haven't been sensitive and have expectation for the mercy to be new every morning, we keep trying to go rehash old mercy. Why did he go through the trouble then of making the mercy new if you're going to keep trying to live off of yesterday's mercy? Selah. See? You will find a fresh way of doing it. A fresh way of hearing it. Whew, Lord. I know some of the things I'm about to say, and so I'm trying to make sure I don't get way ahead of myself. I'm already ahead of myself, but I'm trying not to get way ahead of myself. So it says that he's upholding the thing. Active tense. He didn't store the thing. He's upholding it. It is alive. Oh, wow, 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 wow. You know, I remember... A man of God said that God is wanting us to grow up so that the things that he's done we'll be able to do because we understand his heart. He'll take us to the end of the galaxy and give us the opportunity to fling another universe into existence because we've been given his power. We've been given his word. We've been given his love. We have the ability to create just like he does. And he'll, once we grow up into that place, then we'll be able to go and say, okay, good. Let there be. God will be right there with us. If the devil leave you or forsake you, he would have to be right there with us, wouldn't he? And giving his children the ability to come on, somebody, plenish. Do anew as I did. I mean, we've been repeating the same thing over and over and over again. But the more we trust and grow in him, the more we'll be able to do just like him. Did you not remember that it says in Genesis chapter 11 that God came down and visited man because he said that man was about to build this tower. And man was in unity and about to build this tower. And God came down. These are his words. Ah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Go over there so you can see that. Genesis chapter 11. I mean, these are the things that he said. I didn't make this up. In verse 6. And this is the Lord said, behold, the people is in unity. The people is one. And they have one language. And this that they began to do, and now, please circle, underline, highlight, and now, nothing will be restrained for them that they have imagined to do. This is God saying that. This is not me making that up. God said, nothing that they imagine will be restrained. So do you think that would include going to the end of the galaxy and spilling out the words that say, let there be, and another galaxy is there? He said, nothing that they imagine to do will be restrained from them. This is what he invited us into. And we've been living by doing the same thing over and over again, not expanding, enlarging the place of our dwelling. That he told us, stretch forth your curtain. Enlarge the place of your dwelling. See, when increase is on your mind, these things are automatic. See, I'm growing up in him and understanding that he wants me to do, he wants me to enter into the exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. He was not making that statement to show you how great he is. He made you to be just like him. In his image. Come on. After his likeness, in his image. The people is one. They have one language. They talk like me, think like me. I created them, and when I spoke to them, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image. They talking just like me. They thinking just like me. See, he's wanting us to, he's inviting us into that. The Bible says that we're going to, maybe I'll get over there, in 2 Peter chapter 1, that we can be partakers of the divine nature. Come on, y'all. The God kind of nature. Yes, that includes brotherly kindness, but it doesn't stop there. That's, if you would, the first floor. That's how we know we want to go to the next level, because we have love one for another. Because when you love your brother, and this is what the promise is, then God dwelleth in you. Cool, Jesus. So since God is dwelling in you, he doesn't visit, blow. He doesn't visit. He dwells there. And because he dwells there, then he's able to cause that thing that he wanted to do that would blow people's mind, he wants it to be seen. He's looking over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect heart towards him. He does not want to withhold any good thing. Okay, see? He did not say that he will withhold the things that are only meant for you while you own the earth. He didn't say that. He said he will not withhold any good thing. He's inviting us into the fullness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Did not Jesus tell us that we would do things that were greater than what we saw him do? These are his words, not mine. These things shall you do and greater. Okay, just so we get it, put us on the same page. He invited Peter to walk on the water, and Peter walked on the water. Greater things shall you do. He walked through the wall. When they were gathered, because they were gathered for fear, and the Bible says that he came to them after the crucifixion in a resurrected body, and he said he walked through the wall, the doors being shut. So he walked through the wall. Philip was one place, and he was talking to the eunuch, and the next thing you know, God translated him, took him to another place. Greater things than this shall you do. The Bible says, and he healed them all. Not the two or three that asked. It said, and he healed them all. Greater things than this shall you do. This is what he created you for. He wants, this is what he says. Again, you see it in the second chapter of Habakkuk. It's verse 15. It says, and the whole earth, shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the same way the waters cover the sea. And greater things than this shall you do. He wants this understanding that you are supposed to walk in the glory that he's filled you with, to the point that that knowledge that you have covers the whole earth. Glory. That would be, so that I get it, that would be replenishing, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. That we would begin to unshackle the heart of people and open their minds to the blessing that is exponential in its release. Moving from place to place by the Spirit of God, not needing transportation. Being able to think of a thing and end up in that place. Come on now, come on, let's go. Paul did that a lot. Paul was physically locked up in prison and said this, the next time y'all get together, I'll be there in the Spirit of the Lord. How you gonna be there, Paul? I was there joining and beholding your order. Next time y'all get together, the man that was with his father's wife, he says, next time I'll be there and I'll turn such an one over to Satan for the destruction of the faith. How you gonna be there, Paul? See, we lock down the things that God is trying to get us to open up. This is not so that we can brag. This is so God can wrap this thing up, get it finished. Because we are used to walking in the power of God, in the demonstration of the power of God. It's available. Again, I'm not making it up. It's in your Bible, too. But we haven't studied to show ourselves approved unto God, someone that can work that. Someone that's not ashamed to work that. I mean, this is our greater life. It's available for us. No, you can't approach it from pride. We know that. But that should have been dealt with a long time ago. See? He told you what to do. He said, think on these things that are pure, if there be any praise, any virtue. These are those things that are just. Think on those things. Why? Because then God will be with you. See, he will abide there. He will be able to talk to you and walk with you the same way he walked with Adam. The same way he walked with Enoch. And he saw in Enoch those things that were being developed because of proximity to him, because of intimacy with him. And he said, you know what? You done got further than you ever going to be. Ain't no sense of me trying to get you back to the house. You just come on with me. And God took him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. See? So then, body of Christ, we have to get to the point where we can please him. He's not willing that any should perish, so that I'm going to have to hear, what is the plan that you want to have here to get them to be converted, to get them to look at something from a new perspective? I'm not going to keep rehearsing the stuff that everybody done said for the last 50 years. What happened to me walking in the newness of life? It's available. He opened the door. I just walked through this door. They said we're supposed to get to the place where we understand that Jesus, who was in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. We hanging in. We can now go to chapter 12. And chapter 12 comes after chapter 11. Come on. After chapter 11, when he told us that the just has to live by his faith. See? Not just visit his faith. He said live by it. And if any man would draw back, he doesn't have any pleasure in that man. We have better promises. All right, let's just kind of go back into it so you can see. After he told us that all of these things were done by faith, okay, this is the hall of fame for faith. And then it says there, as we get to the end of it, verse 39, it says that all of these who obtained a good report through faith received not the promise. Why? Because God, having provided some better thing for us. Greater things than this shall you do. But we haven't even been thinking about that. We haven't even been meditating on those things. Because when we meditate on the word of God, he said we would then see how to do. We would observe to do all that's written therein. When you see Jesus did it, it was written therein. So I'll see how to do all that was written. He didn't say some that was written. He said, when you meditate therein, day and night, you will observe, see how to do all that is written therein. God having provided some better thing for us. So then if God has already provided the thing, would it not be good for us to grow up in the thing so that we can operate therein? But because we have been duped by the enemy and made the thought that says, I can't do that because I'm going to be like God. Well, he made you in the image of God, the express image. But Jesus did not think it robbery to be equal with God. But in that thought, he still did not make a reputation for himself. You would hear him saying, it's not me, it's the Father in me that doeth the works. So then we can say, whatever you want to do through me, Father, the Father that's in me, you can do the works, the greater things. Well, it's up to God, yeah, and he's in you to show you that you can be up to that. He will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. Beloved, it does not get wrapped up and brought to a culmination if we don't do our job. And part of our job is to bring under the feet of Jesus death. Death is the last enemy that will be put under the feet of Jesus. Come on. He's already seated at the right hand of the Father until his enemies be made his footstool. That means that would be our job to execute that. But if we don't understand and or believe that, we will never do that. Jesus told him from Jump Street, go heal the sick, raise the dead. His words, it's in red in your Bible. Warning us to grow up to that place where we say, no, 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 no. The word of God that's alive on the inside of me is able to do what Jesus did and greater. God having provided some better thing for us, that they should not be made perfect without us. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, or because of this, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. He didn't give you one example, two examples. He said you have a great cloud of witnesses. And the way to participate in what the revelation that this great cloud of witness has is for you to lay aside every weight, every sin that does so easily beset us. One of the weights that I can quickly see would be thinking that I don't deserve it. I don't measure up. He said, look at the witnesses, and if you see the witnesses, then prepare to do the exceeding great part. Lay aside the weight. Lay aside the sin. And then let us run. Come on, y'all. If you're going to run, that has the connotation of movement in the thing that he just set up for you to move in. Is that correct? He didn't even say, let us walk. He said, let us run. Let's get this done in a hurry. Let's get this done so that we can be further along the way than what walking can make us do. Let's run this thing. Amen. It shouldn't have to take another 2,000 years for this to get done. But if I don't have in my heart, in my thinking, that he wants this done quickly, because he's the one that said, behold, I do a quick work in the earth. See, all I'm doing is activating the word that was given and causing it to be a promise that I can grow in. And he says, now, if you're going to run this race that's set before you, he says, the only way to effectively do it, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. He didn't ask you to start or write the thing. He told you to look to him because he's the one that wrote it down. Amen. And what he wrote down, it says here, he will develop it. That's what a finisher does. When you are a person that works in cement or sculpting and things like that, you will build or create the form of the thing, and then you will seal the thing by finishing it so that it will not be affected by weather. When they put the concrete down, you will see them smooth it over, and then when they smooth it over, it becomes impervious to the weather now. And it will always be unaltered because it was finished. Because if I don't finish it, then the elements will cause it to change. When you have a piece of wood that you want to make something, and you create it, and it looks good, if you don't finish it, put the polyurethane on it, put the coloration of stain on it. If you don't finish it as it is in the elements, it will rot. Amen. But when you finish it, you cause it to be able to endure the elements. And Jesus wrote it, and then he wants to preserve it, finish it so he can present it. There really is no other reason to finish a thing if you're not going to present it. Amen. Amen. If I just liked the way it looked for me and it didn't mean nothing to me, I just leave it out there in the elements and let it be destroyed. But if I'm going to present it, then I finish it. See, I'm a carpenter by trade. So I understand that when you do all of the work, the handiwork that was necessary, then you finish it for presentation. Don't you remember that we, the body of Christ, are supposed to present a working body back to Jesus, and then he's going to present that working body back to his Father.
Amen.
That's the process. He's working on us so that we can be complete, perfect, and entire, wanting nothing. So then he will be able to take that perfect work and then present it to the Father. I finished the work that you gave me to do. And now I ask you to work on them so that I can then present that to you. That's John chapter 17. See, he's wanting to let the work be completed in us. But if we don't understand it, then that work cannot be completed. If we don't believe it, then we stand off from the work and never allow him to complete the work that he started. See, we've got to grow up in him. This is our greater life, to finish the work that Jesus has given us, our assignment. He's given us the earth to have dominion. And here we are, not doing the work that he told us to do. So then the presentation, you can remember in Romans chapter 8, it says the whole creation groans and travails until now, waiting for one thing, the manifestation of the sons of God. The earth is waiting for that. It's waiting for us to have dominion. He didn't ask us, he did not say, now if the people in charge let you, then you can have dominion. That's not what he said. See, because we're not doing our job, then we've muted our voice. They don't see a difference between what God intended and what's happening now. They don't see that we're bringing his will to pass. So then they're going to say, well, what we have to do then is we have to get all of our flesh involved. And then when we stop doing enough stuff that's wrong, then we can present the world to God. No, he told us make disciples. And he said make disciples of all men. Come on, y'all. These are the things that's, again, they in red in your Bible. Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. All power has been given unto me, and I give it unto you. And you take that power and make this. It didn't say take that power and then try to love a disciple into the thing. He said make disciples. Yes, your love will be the drawing card. Got that. But you're going to have some faith and love to cause them to decide they have to give up this, that, or the other. Because all your love does is cover the sin. The faith gives them the power to come out of the sin. Faith without works is dead because it's left alone. See? So we're going to have to, faith is supposed to work by love. Okay, come on, y'all. Faith is supposed to work by love. So then me just covering up the sin did not put faith to work, did it? It put love to work. My faith is supposed to work because I covered the sin. What's the next step for them? That would be their question, wouldn't it? See? But because we haven't walked in the fullness of the Word of God, we haven't given them a step. We say, well, they're going to come out of it soon. No. Make disciples. And it's an interesting thing about men. They look to certain things that would resolve issues for them. Men don't want to be broke. So then if I don't have the ability to lend to many nations and not borrow, I'm not going to catch men. I'm going to have some power in this thing that says, okay, is your getting this bill paid the only difference, the thing that stands between you and what's new? Then here, let's take care of that. I'll lend to the poor. I will sow into your life. See, I will display the work of faith. See, but you're going to have to be familiar with the working of God and the hearing of faith. They go together. A lot of times we'll hear faith, but we don't go to the working of faith. See? In order to fulfill the will of God, hearing and doing. Because if you are a hearer only and not a doer, you simply deceive your own heart. So then how are you going to be one giving testimony when your heart, which is where the issues of life come from, is already deceived? Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the throne of God. For he said, consider him. Because if you don't consider him, if you're not looking unto him, what's going to happen is you're going to be wearied and faint in your mind. See, our expectation comes from him. And then when we begin to listen at him, we get clarification of the things that we read, of the things that we've heard. I believe that probably would be one of the things that causes us to draw back, because we heard that, but we go, I ain't no way I can do that. No, what you need now is clarification. See? Just go back and say, okay, God, you said this. You said this in multiple places in your word. You're expecting this from your body. So then, okay, show me how to do that. And that takes us into what we wanted to go to. All of the other stuff up till now was just review. Okay? But he's going to want you to finish the thing that he was saying for us to do. See? He wants us to be able to process. Wow. Okay. He wants us to process the heart position, the thinking of our intellect, and bring those things to the place where we say, oh, God, you're doing something different. You're doing the now thing, and you want me to participate in it now. Okay? So then Proverbs chapter 4, and I'll try to wrap this up. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and following. He says, my son, attend to my words. So he wants you to really work the word. You know, again, the Bible says that the word became flesh about Jesus. Okay, I'll quote it. Okay, yeah, wow. I'm just seeing how the scripture works out. It says that he was full of grace and truth, and the word became flesh and dwelt, tabernacled among us. And then because it was dwelling among us, the next thing says, and we beheld, we saw something. Hallelujah. See, so if the word is not going to be handled by you, dwell among you, again, not visit, dwell there, it becomes your mainstay. It says that when the word dwells among you, you will behold something. You will behold glory. Come on, y'all. Wow. That's exactly what he said. In this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Why? For when you meditate therein day and night, you will observe to do all that's written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall find good success. When we do it from that perspective, when we work the word, keep looking at it, get clarification, Don't draw back unto perdition. Don't begin to doubt and say, well, that's not for me. Yes, it was. If it was revealed to you, he wants to build right there. And upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You won't have to worry about doubt, unbelief, and fear, because the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I gave you the revelation. Let me build there. See? Blessed art thou, empowered to prosper. That's what the word blessed means. That's what he told Simon. He said, you are blessed. You are empowered to prosper because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And because of that, I'm going to tell you, I will build my church upon the rock of revelation. Matthew 13. We just got to begin to hear it and then say, okay, God, I'm going to let you build on it. I'm going to let you build in Matthew 16, 13, I'm sorry, and following. See, he wants to build. Okay, all right. He's interested in multiplication. He's interested in increase. That's why he's going to build. Amen. See? So that means we're going to have to begin to listen to him, to look unto him. Have expectation out of the conversations that we have with him. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of this kept heart are the issues of life. See, but if I'm not going to spend time inclining my ear unto his sayings. See, I'm getting clarification here. I didn't just hear it and then throw it away like Christmas socks. I started paying attention to it. I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord, but you said that. You gave me promise there. And since you gave me promise and your word will not return to you void, you said it has to prosper. So that's what I'm going to let it do. I'm going to give ear unto it. I'm going to let it prosper. See? I'm not just going to just say, oh, yeah, that's already passed away. Oh, that's good. That sounded cute. No, I'm going to let it prosper. Let this mind be in you. See? That's an operative word. And then as I continue to meditate, he said, I will see how to do it. Give your ear over to it. So if I'm going to incline my ear, give my ear over to it, that means I'm probably going to have to take some other stuff out of my ear. Amen. The Bible tells us to get away from people that don't have the words of life. Depart from those that don't have faith. No, he didn't say judge them. He said, stop listening. Because as a man thinks in his heart, that's where you find the man. So then if I think, or if you're double-minded, you can't receive anything of the Lord. So if I think that what I read cannot be done by me, that's double-minded, isn't it? You know, even if the person who's talking you out of the promise is you, stop listening to you. Amen. Find ways to expand your ability to believe God. Find ways. Okay, yeah, I'm going to try to get down into this part. So he said that you're going to have to let them not depart from you. Okay, see, look at this. I'm just saying in verse 20 of chapter 4, he says he needs your ears. And he needs you to be paying attention to what he's saying. Then he needs your eyes. Okay, everything in the scripture is going to have to come through this process. Faith comes by hearing. And then when faith comes, you're going to have to begin to look at things from the position of faith. Attend to the words. Listen to what I'm saying. Keep your eye on the word. And then transfer what you have been looking at to become part of your own existence. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That's a protected place. Not on the outside of your heart, where they could be snatched away. Put them in the midst of your heart. Amen. Because when you do this, oh, come on. Y'all just look at how it's written. He says, if once you do this, then you will have the ability to find life. Words that you listen to and keep your eyes on them and put them in the midst of your heart, those words will be found in there producing life and health. Wow. And this health and this life will be to ALL, all your flesh. And as this process, come on, there it is. And as this process happens, he says, now keep your heart with all diligence, because you're going to get to the place of flow now. Chapter 22 of the book of Proverbs. Here, take these scriptures, go back over them, read them, study, meditate, allow God to quicken things for you. Chapter 22, verses 18 to 29. Verse 17 to 29. He says again, bow down thine ear. So he's asking you to come to the, okay, all right. If you find yourself in a stall that you haven't been able to walk past, he says, okay, good. While you're there, will you bow your ear down? I know you can't move, but I'm going to give you the ability to have revelation if I can let you participate in the conversation. Give me your ear. Bow your ear and hear the words of the wise. And apply your heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you will keep the words, keep my knowledge, keep my wisdom within you. And then when you do that, they shall withal be fitted into your lips. I love that. He says, if I can get you to listen, if I can get you to keep your eyes on, if I can get you to meditate upon, put them in your heart, he says, now what will happen is that which you are meditating on, that which you are keeping your eyes on, that which you are calling to abide there, he said, those words that are alive, those words that are found, that life that they produce, he says, they will then cause your mouth to be changed. Those words will be fitted in your lips. They will become comfortable to your lips. You won't talk in unbelief and fear. They won't fit anymore in your lips. It's a pleasant thing if you will keep them within you. Keep the wisdom there. Keep the knowledge there. Keep the word there. Keep the revelation there, and they will be fitted, ooh, in your lips. Don't you remember the Bible tells us to open your mouth, and then he will fill it with praise? Well, he said, if I can get you to keep the process working, bow down your ear, listen at me over and over and over. I know you didn't think that way, but listen at me and not your doubt. Listen at me and not the people that are haters. Listen at me, and then as you listen at me, you will find life, you will find health. And then that health will cause you to be able to keep the word in there because you're protecting it with all diligence. And then those words will be fitted in your mouth. He will give you dentures, if you would. Come on. He will fit that word and that truth in your lips. You'll become comfortable at speaking truth. You'll become comfortable at prophesying because it'll be fitted into your lips. Well, why would you do that, Lord? Verse 19, so that your trust may be in the Lord. He removes you out of the equation because these words now, this process now, becomes natural and normal to you. And then your trust is going to be in the Lord. He says, Have I made you know this day even to thee that I've written these things that are excellent in counsel? These things are excellent in knowledge. He's the author and the finisher of faith. He wants you to know these things. Notice he's taking guesswork out here. He's even taking our need for it to be, and I hope it will be. He's taking that out. He says you're going to enter into a place of knowing. And these things that I've written, they will, these things that I've written, he says, they will change your palate. You will only want excellent things. You will no longer want mediocre things. You want things that are rooted in counsel and knowledge. And then in verse 21, he says, when you start this process and work this process, he says, then I will make you know the certainty of the words of truth. Wow. The certainty of the words of truth. See? You're not going on there hoping and wishing. You will know words of truth that are guaranteed. You will underline that phrase. I will make you to know the certainty of the words of truth. And that will cause your conversations to be so accurate that you will know how to answer the people that come around you. See? He said these words of certainty, this truth of certainty, will be fitted. It'll be in two places. It'll be fitted in your heart, and it'll be fitted in your mouth. Because out of the mouth, the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Those words were fitted, comfortable in your heart. See? Fitted words are active words. They're not words that are memorized and static. John chapter 15 says that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, your conversation will change. You will ask what you will, and it shall be. He didn't say it might be. You hope it'll be. He said shall. The word shall is absolute imperative. And it shall be given you. See? So we're not talking about words that you memorize. We have to go beyond what you memorized. They're going to have to be alive in your heart. See, fitted words are words that have gone through multiple stages of scrutiny. They move from your ears to your mind. They move from your mind to your heart. And then they move from your heart to your mouth. See, these are fitted words, active words. Jesus said it this way, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Those are fitted words. Active. Knowing that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? See, those are fitted words. See, that's what I'm doing when I'm driving in the car and I'll hear God say something. I'll say, okay, that is what you say. But I said, Lord, show me how to get to that. I don't see how to apply that. I hear it. It did. The Holy Ghost did bring it up. It was in my memory. I got that. But I would like to live that word, sir. So how do I live that word? See, and then he will tell you things like, well, every word has to be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So show me where the witness is, Lord.
Show me how I can apply this because someone has already done it. Open up the archives of your word and make it be alive to me. See? So then when I find two or three places in that word, then I say, okay, good. I see how to gravitate toward that. See, my process is to talk to God, to listen to God, and then wait on God. See? I just keep talking to him. If I don't understand, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, no wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea tossed to and fro. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See? So then I just go back and I say, okay, God, I'm talking to you. Show me how to get to that point. You had these conversations with Samson, with Samuel, I mean, and you made it to the point where Samuel's words, they didn't even fall to the ground. You would not let his words fall to the ground. But he was living in a time where the Holy Spirit had to visit. We are here where the Holy Spirit abides. The conversation can take place all day, 24/7. See? So then I ask, where? Show me the witnesses, Lord, in your word. I'm not looking for witnesses in the earth. I'm looking for witnesses in your word. Because every word has to be established. See, so it goes from an established word to a confirmed word. These are my conversations. See, I'm not trying to go out there and put God on front street and say, this has got to happen. No. It has to, first of all, be established. And an established word can be an internal witness. But a confirmed word will have external witnesses. Because he works, is what it says in Mark chapter 20. It says, then they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. See, a confirmed word has signs that go along with it. An established word is going to be on the inside of me. It causes my heart to be able to expand, to grow, to hear. Let him build upon that. See? And then when I do this over and over, then what I'll end up with is an established word, a confirmed word, and then I will have a shared unity. Behold how good, Lord Jesus. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, which down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there he has commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So we have an established word, a confirmed word, and then shared unity, because that's the place that blessing has been commanded, and it's life forevermore. We hide the word in there, because those that hide the word, when they find it, they will find health and life. See? So then I've got to have the word established and confirmed by the mouth of two or three. Then I cause that word to be shared and brought into the life of others, commanded blessing. But see, God is interested in you having more than just two witnesses, because in Psalms 12, verse 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver is tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So that I have these conversations with God, and I ask for clarification. Lord, give me the way that you want to purify this word. You want to prove the word in my heart. See? It's going to be tried seven times. It can work seven different ways. Well, that means that every day of the week, the word of God that he's given me, every day it'll work. Seven times. He proves it on the Monday. He proves it on the Tuesday. In my heart, so that I don't have questions about this thing. He proves it on the Wednesday. He proves it on the Thursday, so that I can have the express knowledge of the thing. He proves it on a Friday. He proves it on a Saturday, so that I can then give testimony about that thing. Now it's not me just throwing out idle words. That word has been tried seven times. It's now part of my life. It's now part of my month, because I made it part of my week. Glory to God. And once it becomes part of my month, it becomes part of my year. See, now I can have the goodness of the Lord every day because it's part of my year now. It's not part of an accident. It's part of my on purpose. Think this way all year. See, his word, the entrance of his word gives life. It gives understanding. It tells me where to step. It tells me where to walk. It tells me where the provision is already waiting on me. Because God has already given me, past tense, everything that pertains to life and godliness. See? So then I live in that, and I become the same yesterday, today, and forever. My year now has been made. My life now is easy to be seen and tracked. See? God is wanting us to be able to participate in this every day, all the days of our lives. Why? Because this is the path that is preordained that we should walk in. But the choice is yours. Which way will you choose? Will you talk to him, then hear from him, then wait on him so that he can bring you the things that cause victory day by day, your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and thank you. Thank you for the word that you sent to heal and deliver, to strengthen and to empower so that we can experience grace day by day, grace to bring to pass your will in our lives. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committed to you, done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, again, if you have any questions or comments, you can take those comments and ask for that at this time. You can allow, you know, God to grow us up in everything that he wants us to grow up. So I'm going to give the mic to area code 678-701-3733. You have the mic. Area code 678-701-3733. Any comments or questions about the ministry today?
Pastor Steve, this is Brother Emmett.
Yes, sir. I know you are, Father.
Look at here, man. I enjoy. You know, I'm going to say this. I've been knowing this brother since 1980. We go back, way back. And listening to you, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. It was like a Friday night men's meeting on Friday with Pastor Wayne.
Yeah, for sure.
And I really enjoyed it. And I've been knowing Pastor Steve, 30, 40 years, Steve?
Yeah,
well,
40 years. Yeah.
About 40 years. We come from the same background.
Yeah.
Pastor Wayne Thompson, and I just want to say thank you for that and give you some information. We have reached Blog Talk. Pastor Steve been on for about 5 years, Steve.
Yeah, about five.
42,523 people, 5 years. That's a lot of people. Yeah. Total 111,000 on Blog Talk. The word is getting out, and I tell you, that was a rhema. There's a lot of things going on. God's trying to get people close to him, and it's a similar teaching that I just got through with spiritual warfare, wherefore you're saying the same thing. It's the same thing. God wants us to really use that word, man. And I'm noticing that people are calling in, Pastor. And somebody else want to call in and speak to you. You got a special visitor want to say hello to you. Wait a minute. Let me get him on. All right, Brother John, there you go.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody.
I'm glad
you called me. I was able to check in. I go, all right, let me hear my brother, you know, because, I mean, he's one of the top. And he can, Revelation just come and just pour out left and right. I haven't seen that joke with one book in his hand. The whole Revelation. I'm ready. But let me tell you, I really enjoyed it. I picked it up at the last maybe 20 minutes, but he talked about faith, man. And for those who miss this, I want to share this because, I mean, it really pierced my heart. You know, first of all, he said faith in God means believing that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to earth to save us from eternal death.
Right.
and believing that Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead is the only way to receive the gift of eternal heaven. Now, another thing he said I wrote down says, too often we make faith too complicated. It simply means trusting Jesus to do what he has promised, and he has promised to give you life forever in heaven if you believe in who he is and what he said he is. And then one more thing. I wrote this down. It is believed that, he paid in full by his death with his life for everything we couldn't afford with ourselves. On the cross, Christ restored the way between God and us forever, and that is why we now live in faith. We do what we believe, and that is the Lord Jesus. I enjoy it, man. I enjoy it.
I really do. It was refreshing revelation, and I tell you, we've been blessed. I don't know who all's listening, but if you have a good pastor, and our background started with Wayne Thompson, Pastor Wayne Thompson, and he taught us faith. He taught us about trials and tribulation. He taught us about pride, unbelief. He put that in us, and he's still my pastor to this day. I still respect him, even though we have different beliefs in certain Sabbath Sunday. I ain't going with that. He's still my pastor. And if you don't have a good background, Steve, I'm listening to you. It's like listening to Pastor Wayne, man. You just on you on steroids.
Hey, brother.
Yeah.
There's one little thing I missed on the second page I wrote. It's just one sentence I got down. He said, "Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is the firm trust and confidence in God. It is to trust Jesus with our entire lives. It is to believe that He traded places with us." And he paid in full with his life for everything we couldn't afford ourselves.
Amen.
Amen.
Gotcha.
I enjoyed it, Steve. I tell you, man, I really enjoyed it. I said, this brother got, you know what, Pastor Steve, you always impress me as your anointing. I can't teach like that, everybody. I just can't. I can teach the word with scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. But see, everybody got a different anointing, man. I tell you, I really enjoy how the Holy Spirit had you to hit them scriptures and give revelation at the same time. That ain't easy to do, man. You've been in the Word a long time. And I'm not trying to compare you to Pastor, but Brother Wayne and both of us, he and you with that, his spirit's in me with deliverance. Because I learned deliverance at Pastor Wayne Church, and that's all I do is deliverance.
Sure. I know. That's right.
And when you're under anointing, you have to be, man, y'all listen to this brother and join his radio ministry. Sow a seed to Pastor Steve. You know, if anybody's out there listening to him, he don't never ask for nothing, but I'm trying to change that, and I want to change that. Steve, how could someone sow a seed to you? What would they do? Are you not ready at this time?
But
I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to help.
Not just by myself, no. I don't have the 501c3 yet, and when I get that, then I'll be able to do that. Keep everybody safe. I won't do nothing without
Okay.
So they
brother,
they can still sow into the ministry here at livedeliverance.com, and that's good, but because that's the work that the Lord is doing. I'm just a part of that work, so you can always sow at livedeliverance.com.
Well, I tell you one thing, brother. So you've been on air for years, you got a lot of followers. Steve, you make it easy for me. I can rest. I remember when I didn't have you, Steve. I'm here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Man, that was, you can only go so far as a human, you know. And I really enjoy your teaching, and it's powerful. It sounded like Pastor Wayne, Steve. Man, I get excited about it, man.
Yeah,
I love you, man. I'm just got excited. It really remind me of my pastor. Now, you know, I love Pastor Wayne.
Yes, sir. Amen.
All right.
So thank you. Well, we have one more. That we have area code 817 919-1557. Area code 817-919-1557. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry?
My other brothers. We all grew up in the Word of God under Pastor.
Yeah, we did.
And so,
amen, amen, amen.
Faith, and I just want to say, Steve, you know you and I sat together in meeting, Pastor Wayne meetings,
and
you minister. You were back there ministering the word, Pastor Wayne was minister. We all,
yep.
I mean, I'm just saying, we all grew up in faith.
Yeah,
I was just talking to my sister today. I said, you know what? We were taught by Pastor Wayne. Just
I give him praise.
I give God the glory that he put us in those seats to be taught the truth.
Yes, he did.
And so
Steve
is just continuing in not Pastor Wayne's footsteps, but the footsteps that God has called him to.
That's
and
right.
I thank you for it. But Steve, I have one question.
Come on.
When you said in Genesis 11, where God came down because they were building the temple. Now, who did he come down at? They said no man has seen God.
Correct.
Who did he come down at? Was he a cloud?
He sent a word.
Was he a
fire? No, he sent a word. He sent the word down there. But the they wouldn't know. They had never seen God from that perspective, because at that time the world was kind of dark. Okay, but they did have unity, because they were what was his name? What was the name of the king that was there in Genesis? That was Nimrod. That was
Nimrod
territory, and Nimrod was
a wicked man.
Yeah,
Nimrod.
Right. So then they were building in Nimrod's backyard, if you would. Because they were not trying to seek God. They were trying to be like God. But because unity was there, God said, whatever they about to do, here they come. They be in the morning. So it was not for a manifestation that they were looking for. But God was having the conversation with Jesus and the Holy Spirit to say, okay, the people is one. If we don't do something, this unity will work, and it's the same way when they ate from the tree of knowledge, God had to come down and stop it, because if they had came to the tree of life and ate in a renewed state, then they would have stayed that way. There was no salvation available for them. See, so that's why God said, "Let me protect the tree, so I can get them back. Because if I don't, they'll always be in the place where they lean to." The sin of the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good evil.
Okay.
Pastor Steve.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Steve. I
took
time for my homework.
Do me a favor, too.
I didn't even do my homework because I wanted to listen to you today.
Thank you.
So I will
text me,
go back to doing. I'll start.
Yeah,
doing
God's
going to
favor you.
Thank you.
He's going to give you the wisdom.
Yeah, and God bless all of you.
Hey, Brother Steve.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
take me Carol's number and Maude's number. Okay, thank you.
Okay,
I'll
see.
And tell her that she can listen to Pastor Wayne on Mondays. Tell her she can listen to Pastor Wayne on Mondays on the radio station, Steve.
Oh, I do.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I come from Pastor Wayne. And we have
who
a...
Is
she write this down. Huh?
Pastor Emmett, she might not remember you.
Emmett.
She used to work at soccer. Yeah, I know. She used to work at soccer.
I know Emmett.
Yeah, this is me, ma'am. How
I
you
know
doing?
I know Emmett.
Yes, ma'am.
I am blessed. Yeah. I know you were there the same time we all came through there.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
And the reason
you
why...
You had a little boy.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
So true. That's right. Joe did. With the soccer, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
We have a radio station. She can listen to Pastor Wayne at www.livedeliverance.com. You can listen to Pastor Wayne all day Monday.
Okay, that's what now?
Deliverance, DeliverANCE.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. And God bless you. Shalom.
God bless.
I'm out. I want to let everyone know. God bless everybody. I'm streaming live.
Right,
we're based in Kingston, Jamaica, in Mandeville, Jamaica. Live Deliverance Internet Radio is no longer based in the United States because I have two citizenships. And I thank God for being here in Jamaica. And I thank God for Pastor Wang. Thank God for Brother Steve, the Lord Jesus. God bless everybody. Steve wanted to say hello. I really enjoyed that, man. I'm going to post that on the live deliverance. I really, if you don't mind, I wanted to get permission if I can take some of them. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. And also, when people listen to this, you may count the number of people in, but at the end of the week, there may be 200-300 people listening because they can listen to this all the way up until next week. So keep the good work up, Steve, man, and I'm out, man.
Amen. All right. Love y'all. Be blessed. All right.
Welcome.